You know, a lot of people just kind of show up to fairs, but you don't really think about what all goes into it. And now we have a better idea.
A lot of work. Looks like.
And of course, this is also a big traffic story as
well.
It's
just one of the big stories today. WRAL News at 6 starts right now.
Edgecombe County deputy stabbed, a suspect shot dead. We'll have an update on the investigation from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Plus, we told you there could be traffic delays. Sky 5 has a live look at the conditions around the fairgrounds right now.
Some experts say the job market here is as red hot as the real estate market. Ahead, what that means for you and the companies that want you to work for them.
The weather is catching up to the calendar this weekend. I'm tracking the system that's bringing cooler air and the potential for some showers and storms.
An Edgecombe County deputy is in the hospital after a struggle with a suspect. The deputy was stabbed, the suspect shot to death. Good evening and thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. Investigators are still on the scene right now. That's on McNair Road outside of Tarboro. WRAL Sky 5 and the WRAL Breaking News Tracker brought us the first pictures from Edgecombe County. WRAL's Julian Grace picks up the team coverage live with an update. Julian?
Deborah, I spoke to a man who says he's lived here in Tarboro for 41 years, and he says he has never seen McNair Road look like this. Squad cars everywhere, crime scene tape up, and investigators are pushing the public back. Now, investigators will be on this scene for a while. Going back over the evidence, I've been in contact with Sheriff Cleveland Atkinson. He is currently at the hospital with the injured deputy. We're waiting for an update on that deputy's condition. While we wait, detectives are keeping this area blocked off. They say they will be out here for a while. Now, the sheriff tells me he plans to hold a news conference on Friday about the deadly shooting. But residents out here, they want to know more. There's a number of residents just behind me. There's some residents in a holding area to the side of me. But we spoke to a couple that just pulled up because they said they saw all of this and they had a lot of questions. Hear what they have to say all new tonight at 7 o'clock. Deborah.
Julian Grace, live for now in Edgecombe County. Thank you, Julian. Eric Miller is with the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, staying in that area to follow up on the deputy's condition. Look for team coverage again on WRAL's News at 7.
Also breaking tonight, an independent panel unanimously recommended booster shots for the Moderna vaccine. The criteria similar to those for Pfizer's booster. Everyone age 65 and older, people 18 to 64 with a compromised immune system, at risk of serious illness should they get the virus. And people who live or work in settings that increase their risk of getting COVID. Now, remember, the independent advisory panel is the first step in the process. FDA officials are expected to make their decision in the coming days. A CDC advisory committee with vaccines will meet on Wednesday. The director of the CDC will then take that committee's opinion and make a final decision. If it moves as quickly as the Pfizer approval, Moderna boosters could be available by the end of the month. We are closely monitoring the traffic situation around the fairgrounds and PNC Arena tonight. WRAL's 3D TrueView traffic shows some green and some red, depending on where you go. WRAL's Brian Schrader has the best vantage point. He is live in Sky 5 with a view from above. Brian, how does it look from your vantage point?
Well, Gerald, it's a beautiful sunset over West Raleigh right now, but we are seeing some traffic starting to build now around PNC Arena. You're looking live at the interchange there at Wade Avenue and Edwards Mill Road. You can see that traffic on Edwards Mill Road heading into PNC Arena, and that backup begins all the way back toward Glen Eden. It is a big backup on the southbound side of Edwards Mill Road. Also seeing some heavy traffic on Blue Ridge Road approaching the Trinity Road intersection. But as far as traffic heading to the State Fair right now, those routes look pretty clear. Hillsborough Street, Trinity Road, all looking pretty good. And the parking situation right now for the State Fair, of course, they have the free parking there at Carter-Finley Stadium. You can see plenty of open spots right now. And that has not really changed over the past hour. So most of the traffic that we're seeing right now around this area is due to the Canes home opener. Again, that starts at 7 o'clock. And you can see that parking lot is filling up. Gerald?
It certainly is. We'll keep an eye on it. Thank you, Brian.
And the North Carolina State Fair opened without an issue today. It's the first fair in 2 years because of the pandemic. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live at the fairgrounds with a look at the opening day crowds. Matt?
Deborah, we were expecting a little bit more of a crowd here, especially as folks got off work and the school day came to an end. But you can see this is the view down to one of the gates here, and it's pretty open in the crowd here. The fair usually expects about 41,000 people on this opening day. The theme this year is worth the wait, and we found a lot of people who said it really is worth the wait to get back to the fair this year.
The first families in line at the state fairground gates used the wait time to hash out a game plan.
Crazy. Everything to look at. There's tons to look at. Try everything.
What animal are you most looking forward to seeing? Why?
Roosters, because there's a lot of them.
They've had 2 years to build up excitement for this opening day. Cindy Williford from Garner wouldn't miss it after last year's cancellation due to COVID.
I'm not worried about it at all. I haven't from the beginning. I've been cautious, but I can't live in fear.
She and her grandkids are here for the fun of the fair, but reminders of the pandemic are noticeable on the smiles you can't see behind the masks and the vaccination clinic that's taken over the booth where Cary United Methodist served up its country ham biscuits for a century. This year, the church is partnering with health officials to provide COVID shots.
Well, I think it's a great idea. If people are willing to walk by and ask the questions and they want to get a shot, it's there and it's available.
Governor Roy Cooper visited the clinic. He credits vaccinations for allowing the state fair to return this year with masks encouraged but not required.
I think if you're in a big, big crowd of people and we're going to be there for a period of time outside, that you would want to put a mask on.
Some attractions are scaled back, but the midway rides are in motion. And of course, there's the food.
I'm a French fry person. So I really came for the French fries and the roasted corn.
So I got like 3 turkey legs in here to take back. I can't take no more because it's heavy.
There is some strategy behind this opening day visit to the fair for Carolyn Williams and Doris Becote.
We want to come out here, eat, and get it over with before everybody get here.
It was.
Yeah, if you want to avoid the crowds like they did, I'm told you should come during the week. Tomorrow even is a good day to come. The fair director says, though, the busiest time is the second weekend, so next weekend. So avoid that if you don't want to come out and see a bunch of crowds. The fair runs every day until October 24th. Deborah.
Oh, I just love the people that you talk with. They were hilarious. Did you get a chance to try any of the food yet, Matt?
I did. I got a London broil sub with basically a cheesesteak. It was really good. Ooh. Our photographer Keith Baker suggested it, and yep. It was a good choice.
Keith
he liked
knows.
It too.
Keith is a veteran of the fair, no doubt. All right, Matt Tallhelm live at the State Fair with Keith Baker. Thanks, guys.
A group of Raleigh City employees says the city's COVID vaccine mandate is discriminatory. They call themselves City of Raleigh Freedom to Choose. The group is made up of 118 people, mostly police and firefighters. The city laid out incentives and consequences to encourage workers to get the vaccine. The group is giving the city until the 23rd to respond to their demand letter. If not, the argument could end up in court. Next year, the federal government will give Social Security recipients their largest cost of living increase in nearly 40 years. At the state level, retirees are falling further and further behind. WRO's Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live with what's on the table to help them. Laura?
Gerald, state retirees are calling on state lawmakers to follow Social Security's lead. Their pensions haven't kept up with inflation since before the Great Recession.
North Carolina's state pension system is not linked to the cost of living. It's up to state lawmakers to decide when and how much to increase pensions, and they haven't approved a significant boost in about 12 years. The teachers and state employees retirement system serves about 234,000 retirees, earning an average pension of just around $21,000. Richard Rogers leads the state Retired Governmental Employees Association.
It's all the teacher assistants, it's all the janitors, the works folks, the people that help keep your toilets flushing and your water running. These are the folks who are being impacted.
This year, with a budget surplus nearing $8 billion, they're asking for a 2% permanent increase.
Inflation is real. They're living on fixed incomes. And, you know, the reality is they're trying to make decisions between health care, food, and living.
Governor Roy Cooper's budget proposal did include a 2% raise for pensions, plus a 2% bonus this year and next year. The House had the one-time bonuses, but no permanent raise, and the Senate didn't include anything at all. The final budget deal is still under negotiation between lawmakers and the governor. I asked House Speaker Tim Moore whether a permanent increase is on the table.
And frankly, I support whether it's a bonus or whether it's an increase. I think we ought to do something in that. I mean, inflation, things are more expensive now, and so I certainly think that's something we ought to do.
Now, Roger said a bonus would be welcome, but he said it doesn't help to maintain the pension values in the long run. He says retirees have lost so much ground to inflation, their purchasing power now is just 84 cents on the dollar. Gerald.
Laura Leslie reporting live. Thank you, Laura.
Coming up, Five on Your Side has some advice about this hot job market.
Looking for a job? You're in control. I'm Five on Your Side's Monica Liberty. Coming up, how to make the most of it.
And another countdown is on tonight. A live look at PNC Arena as the Canes get ready to start their regular season in less than an hour. We're coming up live in sports with a new report. Mike?
Deb, our fall cold front is taking shape across the plains, separating summer to the east, fall to the west. I'll show you what happens before and after that front passes. It's coming up.
We'll have late details from a key FDA safety panel meeting over whether Moderna booster shots are necessary. Also, more of our reporting on a Texas school community where parents clashed over race. Books now the latest flashpoint when we see you tonight.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Boyle in the WREL Live Center. There's no zipping around West Raleigh this evening, all because of the game, the Canes game at PNC Arena, which is right here. You see all that red coming in on Edwards Mill. And then the first night of the State Fair, this is the location of that. You have Trinity, this location. You see those yellows and oranges indicating slow traffic. And right here through Hillsboro, close to Blue Ridge, all orange, as those who are headed out this evening will be dealing with that traffic. 440 is clear, except for the one exit location right there on Wade Avenue. You can expect the slowdowns to be with us for the next several nights as the State Fair is cranking up here on night one. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. WREL has tracked dozens of announcements this year that add up to thousands of new jobs in our area. Today, one of those companies celebrated the first steps on their new facility. Fujifilm Diosynth held a ceremonial groundbreaking for its new drug manufacturing facility in Holly Springs. It will be the largest of its kind in North America. Crews are still taking down trees at the site, and construction is slated to be complete in 2025. The plant will create 725 highly skilled jobs in the area by the end of 2028.
As Deborah mentioned, there are plenty of open jobs in the area right now, and some local talent recruiters compare this job market to the housing market, red hot. Five on Your Side's Monica Liberty tells us how to make the most of it.
So we all see the now hiring signs everywhere and know that the pandemic has changed so much about the job market. One of the biggest changes, according to recruiters, the ball is definitely in the candidates' court. So many jobs, so many opportunities, and experts say so many fewer candidates. It's changed the dynamics of hiring.
It's a good time to move up if you need a job.
I do think there's more of a willingness to train on the job.
It's a very hot market for candidates.
Carol Lazotte is a talent recruiter at Green Resources. She's trying to fill all kinds of positions, technology sales, marketing, as well as administration and HR positions.
You know you have the transferable skill set and you have a goal that you want to go out there and achieve. Now's the time to do it because people are looking to hire.
You just have to look at the supply and the demand.
Amanda Powell helps companies figure out their hiring needs and ways to make open positions most attractive.
Are you offering remote flexibility? Are you offering more PTO and flex time? What kind of benefits do you have? People are just really looking for the full package now. It's not really just about salary.
Yet she says when it comes to salary, companies still must compete.
It used to be where they could maybe offer a little bit lower and try to negotiate and try to lowball. And that just isn't going to fly right now. Like, you really have to treat it like the housing market where they have three offers on the table. What are you going to do to put your offer ahead of the rest of them?
And she adds, in this market, there's no time to dawdle.
I've had a few that took 3 months to hire somebody. 3 whole months. That is not going to fly. That was so 2019. That's not going to fly today.
Not for companies and not for candidates.
I have seen clients rescind offers because a candidate was taking too long to answer and they had two other people kind of waiting on the back burner.
And these experts say passive candidates are in the highest demand. That is people who are actively working right now and not looking for a job, but if contacted with the right opportunity, would make the jump. Monica Liberty, WREL News 5 on your side.
And WREL TechWire can help you find your next job. Every Monday, our team posts a list of some of the jobs available in the Triangle. And don't let the name fool you. They aren't always technology jobs. Check out the job section of WRLTechWire.com to see this week's listing.
So 2019. Well, with Halloween 17 days away, Durham has its COVID-19 guidance in place for trick-or-treating. Mayor Steve Shule announced the protocols this morning. He advises neighborhoods not to invite large crowds. Try to limit door-to-door interactions and for families to travel together. Patrol units will be sent to areas that don't comply. Well, here's a look at the state fair right now from a different angle. Let's take a look at this. Well, this is a view that we get to see all the time from our tower cam of Dorton Arena. And now this is live on the fairgrounds. We have mounted a camera at the WREL booth and we watch through the internet now. This is kind of new. It's nice to see all the people out there live. One of the many ways we will be bringing you the state fair this year, and such a beautiful sky.
Yeah.
And I just can smell the food almost,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, and if we can't be out there, at least we can sit here and people watch. I love watching the people by and seeing what they're eating. And it looks like a great evening at the fair. We've had some high-level clouds going by. 84 was the high, and the first 3 days of the state fair are going to be the warm ones. It's going to be summer in October. But by Sunday and beyond for the remainder of the fair, it will be either cool or normal. Our normal high is about 74, so it's going to be comfortable for the duration of the fair after we get past Saturday. 77 right now at RDU, 63 is the dew point. At one point, the dew point was 59, so it dropped briefly and then bounced back up. Heading to the state fair this evening to grab that stuffed turkey leg, or was it a fried lobster tail? Sounds pretty good. 74 at 7 o'clock, 67 by 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 64. It's going to be another warm one tomorrow. In fact, toastier tomorrow with 87. Our record high tomorrow is 88, the morning low 60. Watch out for some patchy dense fog in the morning. We had some this morning. Saturday is the transition day. We have a high of 82. The cold front comes in the afternoon. And I have to tell you, when the front gets to your neighborhood, ahead of it, there's going to be a strong southwesterly wind. You'll have a brief period of showers, and then once the front moves by, it will be an immediate wind shift. The temperatures will drop. The winds could gust up to 30 miles per hour, so you can say it will be blustery behind the front, and temperatures should fall into the 60s post-frontal passage. And then on Sunday, we wake up to 49, 67 for a high, sunshine, and it will be breezy in the afternoon. So if you're just itching to wear that jacket that you really haven't worn a whole lot over the past few weeks, you're going to be able to do it on Sunday. There's the transition zone. That's the frontal boundary. The cooler air is to the northwest. We've got summer in the east, and here comes that front with showers and storms. Now, tomorrow, some of these could be severe. We'll watch to see if that's the case. And then for the day on Saturday, the severe weather threat as of right now is up to our north. We'll watch to see if that changes. If there is any threat here, we'll let you know. Saturday at lunchtime, all is quiet. In fact, the first part of the day, lots of sunshine, maybe some fog in the morning. And then in the afternoon, here comes the front. And again, it's windy ahead of the front. You'll see clouds increase, brief showers. The front rolls through. The clouds stay. The winds start to pick up. The temperatures begin to fall. And then by 8 o'clock, the front's off to the east. By 11 o'clock, it's down east of the coast. We'll see clearing skies. And then by Sunday morning, we'll wake up into the 40s. So tonight, patchy dense fog, mid-50s to low 60s, 60 in Raleigh, 61 at Fayetteville. And then for the day tomorrow, again, we're going to be flirting with a record high. We're forecasting 87. The record's 88 and 1985. 89 for Fayetteville. You had 87 today, 86 in Roxborough. Football Friday forecast, I think this is going to be the last comfortable Football Friday sitting on the bleachers. Temperatures in the 70s during the game, through the entire game, 72 by 10 o'clock. And your 7-day forecast will be warm for the next 2 days, 87 tomorrow, 82 on Saturday. And then we transition back into fall. And the coolest day is Sunday, the high 67. But the rest of the forecast looking pretty nice, too. Not shabby at all.
Not at all. Looking forward to it. All right, Mike, thank you.
Hey, hockey season is back in Raleigh. Chris Lee is live at PNC Arena where the Hurricanes taking on the Islanders tonight. Chris?
Yeah, Gerald, it's a brand new season with a lot of brand new faces for the Carolina Hurricanes, but the team leadership is going to be full of all the familiar faces that you recognize. Next in sports, how Sebastian Aho is looking to take the next step up this season, and has the Carolina Hurricanes are ready to start a brand new season this year. That's coming up next in sports. This is a wonderful time of year in sports. The Carolina Hurricanes are about to start their season. Fans getting inside of PNC Arena right now, and they are ready to see what this Canes team will look like. Also with some new faces on the leadership portion of the team. Casey Hentz has a story about that. Casey.
Seven. That's how many new faces will hit the ice tonight for the Carolina Hurricanes. But there's no reason to take warning, because one thing has still remained the same. The strength of the culture and the leadership. That includes the emergence of a young leader who's going to be wearing an A on his chest tonight for the first time.
Sebastian Aho, the Canes' leading scorer for the last four seasons, now among one of the four leaders of this year's team.
I just felt that, you know, it was good on him to just to hear it from me or hear that, that it's an official thing. We've got great leadership in that room. That's one of the things that stands out, and he's a big part of that.
For Aho, becoming a leader isn't something he tried to do. It's just come natural. But the title, he says, is an honor.
You know, just seeing that, you know, players and coach trust me and as a leader. But then again, it doesn't change what I'm doing. I'm just, you know, being myself.
Fellow assistant captain Jacob Slavin says being who he is exactly why the Canes are who they are.
He's been here a long time. He understands the culture that we have here. He's a big part of the culture that we have here. And so he's passionate. He cares about the game. He plays the right way. And when guys watch him play the game, it's contagious, and they want to be able to follow in his footsteps and know.
This team also follows in the footsteps of head coach Rod Brind'Amour, who enters his fourth season behind the bench for the Canes. I asked him this morning, do you still get those feelings of nerves or excitement, anxiousness, anything at all before these season openers? And he said, oh yeah, but the preparation as a player is completely different for him. His job is done for the night. He feels he's gotten his guys ready. It's now up to them to go out and show it. Chris.
Yeah, Casey, I'm so excited for tonight. The Carolina Hurricanes taking on the New York Islanders, brand new season. We'll look to see if they can make it back to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and hopefully they can go a lot further along than what they did this past season when they lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning. This one starts at 7 o'clock. We'll have live reports right here from PNC Arena. Let's go, Canes. And we'll see you guys here later on at 10 and 11.
Go, Canes.
All right. Thanks, Chris. And thank you for watching NBC Nightly News. Coming up next, your first look at the new U.S. Capitol police officers helping other officers with trauma.
Then stay with us for our 7 o'clock news.